You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Braves reporter, Mark Bowman. Mark, winter meetings are over, pretty quiet for the Braves, which isn't a surprise when you look at where this team's at. They're not the type of team that's going to make a big splash at the winter meetings. But what is left to do for this Atlanta team between now and the kickoff of spring training?
Well, you know, during the winter meetings, they did at least have discussions for some starting pitchers. You know, they at least asked about Sale, obviously, when the White Sox asked for Dansby Swanson. That's where the conversation ended, and rightfully so. The White Sox needed Dansby in the deal, and the Braves weren't willing to give him up. So they've at least maintained some interest in Jose Quintana as well, but at the same time, you know, that price is probably going to be a little bit too steep for them. You know, the amount that the depth that they would have to dip into their prospect pool. So I do expect them probably to stay put, but at the same time, I'm not going to be surprised to hear that they're at least still asking around about some top line starting pitchers. At the same, now on the catching front, you know, you've got Tyler Flowers and Anthony Rekker set to handle those duties. They would like to get a better option than Rekker to serve as Tyler's backup, or at least another guy to share the time with Tyler. Jason Castro would have been the perfect guy as a left-handed bat. Obviously, his price was too high. Wellington Castillo is available, but his price is going to be too high. I do expect, you know, if you ask me right now, you know, how are they going to start the season, it'll be Flowers and Rekker. But at the same time, if once teams start to put their rosters together and get a feel for how everything's going to shape up with not only, you know, in terms of personnel, but also finances, there may be a guy that opens up a catcher they would be willing to trade for.
Team also making some minor moves over the last week. Tyrell Jenkins is a guy that we talked about a lot on this podcast over the last year, really, Mark, as far as, is he going to end up being a starter? Will he end up being a reliever in the long run? Well, the Braves no longer have to make that decision because they've packaged him with Brady Feigl, and they get Luke Jackson in return, who it's an interesting piece. He's one of these guys that high upside possibility for a power pitcher, but maybe you're not sure the chances of him reaching that full potential.
Yeah, exactly. You know, basically what they did with a lot of these guys over the last couple of weeks with Tyrell Jenkins, Rob Whalen, John Gant, they basically were cleaning out a surplus of starting pitchers that they've already had a chance to get a good look at. And they said, look, you know, we've got Aaron Blair and Matt Whistler in place. That they're major league ready right now. Sean Newcomb, Max Fried, Patrick Weigel, these guys are on their way. You know, and so in other words, to keep these guys around, like Tyrell Jenkins, Gant, these guys who were fringe starters, maybe bullpen guys, it made sense for them to go out and get a guy like Jackson, a power arm who, you know, look, he's somewhat of a lottery ticket too. You don't know what you're going to get, but at the same time, it filled a little bit more of an area of need with greater upside. So, you know, basically this has been a weeding out process, maybe just a cleaning out process where, you know, they had a chance to look at Jenkins, and while he's a great guy, he it was fun to be around him. He interacted well with fans. At the end of the day, you don't know if he's going to be a starter, and he really doesn't have the stuff to profile as a reliever either. So it made sense to part ways with him just to take a chance on another guy who, like I said, he fit a greater area of need. Can't get enough power arms, especially when you see what the price of you know, top relievers is. You hope that one of these guys with, you know, like they did with Jose Ramirez and Mauricio Cabrera, all of a sudden they started throwing strikes this year. If you get these guys with that kind of arm throwing strikes, all of a sudden you might find yourself with one of these top relievers where you're not having to pay the price of the, and I'm not throwing these guys in the Chapman category, but you get what I'm saying. You're trying to get lucky with at least one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Ever the optimist, Mark. A couple of interesting minor league deals for this team recently. Emilio Bonifacio, a guy who's no stranger to the Braves organization. Decent year at AAA last year. Obviously, this is a guy who used to have a bigger role in the major leagues. He's still trying to kind of refine that. And then John Danks, similar situation. Here's a guy who used to be a 200-inning-a-year type pitcher. He's not all that old, but it's been a few years since he was effective on the mound. The Braves signed both guys. They'll be in spring training, and it's another situation where maybe you can catch lightning in the bottle one more time with these guys.
Yeah, in some ways, I think that, you know, Bonifacio, I think maybe not as much as why did the Braves want to go after Bonifacio as much as why did Bonifacio want to come back to the Braves when he, yeah. You know, he signs the deal last year, gets released at the end of spring training, has that embarrassing episode there at Wrigley Field where he thinks he's been called up, but they find out that the rules prevent him from being on the active roster, and then all of a sudden he gets 43 total plate appearances with this team this past year. Now, you know, could they use another versatile position player? Yes. Could he fit that need? Maybe. But you look at what he's done the last couple of years at the big league level. You know, 2 years ago, the White Sox basically gave up on him. Last year, like I said, he spent most of the season with Gwinnett. This guy just provides some depth, as does Danks. You know, the Danks deal, you know, I get it. That's why you still want to add some depth. You look at what you have. You basically have eight guys already coming to camp that could be, you know, ready to fill your rotation right now with Teron, Fultonevich, Cologne, Dickey, Garcia, Colemanter, Blair, Whistler. Now you throw Danks in that mix. You look at what he did last year. The most concerning thing is his velocity dipped down below, down to about 87 miles per hour. So coming off a shoulder surgery, you look at what the numbers have been. I get why maybe you say we need to add a little bit more depth. I just don't know why you go and get this guy. But, you know, maybe they will get lucky with him. At the same time, I think that he's just a guy that could fill some space during spring training, provide some insurance. Maybe Colemanter struggles during spring training, and you say Danks is a better option to use as a long reliever out of the bullpen to start the season. But at the same time, this guy has to prove he's healthy in the last few years that what he has shown has not provided much confidence in that area.
In a podcast filled with minor-type moves, Mark, we're going to end on one more. The Rule 5 draft is always the end of the winter meetings, comes up Thursday morning, and kind of a throwaway for a lot of people, but a lot of teams do make selections, as did the Braves this year. They released Williams Perez to kind of clear room on the 40-man roster, and then in the Rule 5 draft, they select Armando Rivero, who's kind of another one of those intriguing arms. He comes from the Cubs, and his numbers in 2016, granted, not major league numbers by any stretch, but 105 strikeouts and 67 and two-thirds innings and an ERA near 2. I mean, those numbers jump off the page at you, but what's the upside for Armando Rivero?
You know, I think he that was, you know, while I might question the Bonifacio and Danks signing, the decision to, you know, open up a 40-man spot with a guy that probably wasn't going to factor into the rotation this year, Williams Perez, to get this this power arm from the Cubs system, who was, you know, John Coppola said it. Look, you know, Cubs are the best team in baseball. If you're going to go and try to find depth somewhere, that's the best place to find it, unprotected depth. And, you know, I think this guy, especially if they start with an 8-man bullpen, could begin this season at the big league. Well, let's put it this way, as a Rule 5 guy, he has to. I think that they could they'll choose to keep him as long as he throws strikes throughout spring training. I think that, as you noted, the number that stood out is how you know, how much he improved his strikeout ratio from 15 to 16. Those are numbers that jump off the table. He was a guy that came over from Cuba. He's only been in the professional ranks for a few years now, so something may have clicked last year, and the Braves may benefit.
Great stuff as always, Mark. Thanks a lot. This has been MLB.com Extras, our Braves edition. For Mark Bowman, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next time.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.